What's up, everybody? My name is Isaiah Rivera. I took my vertical from a measly 24 inches to a world record 50.5 inches. This is my coach, John Evans, and he started training me when I had a 42-inch vertical and crippling knee pain, and he got me all the way to where I am now. And today, we are going to be talking about how you should train to jump higher if you are a volleyball player. But before we do that, John, can you give us a quick word from our sponsors?
So a quick word or a huge, huge shout out to our sponsors over at THP Strength. They are the premier jump coaches in the entire world. If you are looking to jump higher, get more athletic, and get healthy, go to THPStrength.com. The best, absolute best thing you can do to be a better athlete. No insole, no other coaching, no specific exercise is going to be as effective as their coaching.
Cool.
Also, yes, again, we know we are our own sponsors. All right, so you want to introduce the topic?
Yeah. So volleyball is a very popular sport where the success in volleyball is very correlated to how high you can jump. It is a skill that is very in demand as a volleyball player. And luckily, that is our specialty, is training how to jump higher. And because of the nature of volleyball, I do have a big percentage of viewers that is their main sport. That is the entire reason that they are training to jump higher. And quite frankly, there isn't a lot of information, good information out there about training specifically for volleyball like there is for basketball. I think the basketball world is way bigger than the volleyball world, and thus there's a lot more information on dunking. But hopefully we can bridge that gap for you guys. We've actually trained a ton of volleyball players. It plays. I need to actually take a poll and see how much of it is, but I wouldn't be surprised if like 20 to 30% of the athletes we coach are strictly for volleyball. So without further ado, let's get into it. I guess the first thing that we need to define is the...
You like definitions, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I like to give kind of like a framework for the topic, but I guess what biomotor capacities do you need if you're a volleyball player? That's probably a good place to start.
Yeah, so I actually think that volleyball and dunking are pretty much the same. I mean, it's the same in terms of what you're trying to do for the KPI, key performance indicator for success, which is jump high, right? They're pretty much identical. The biggest difference in volleyball is that you don't have infinite amounts of time like you do in dunking. So in dunking, specifically in the sport, you get, 30 seconds to a minute or something like that to make a dunk? Or three rounds?
Yeah.
With as much time as you need to set up?
Yeah, it's basically three attempts. In a typical dunk contest, you would have three jumps spaced out anywhere from 30 to 45 seconds in between each jump, and then like 5 to 15 minutes in between those three jumps versus volleyball. What's the timing for volleyball?
I would guess like each between like the ball going to the other side and then passing, setting, and hitting, I mean anywhere from like, I don't know, 3 to 8 seconds or something like that in that range. I don't know. That's just ballpark based off me trying to think, like probably around there.
If the ball isn't coming towards you, like you could be not jumping for a couple minutes.
Yeah, you could be. Oh, like as an actual player on this. Yeah. So you could be waiting longer, but the time interval you have to actually set up for a jump.
Oh yeah.
Is.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, in dunking, you can take all the time in the world to start your approach versus volleyball. The ball's coming your way. The bump set spike is happening. You have like 5 seconds.
Yeah, you probably have about that.
And you're limited too by the distance. In a dunk, you could hypothetically start full court and run. Versus in volleyball, you're limited by like 3 steps, maybe 4 steps.
Yeah, I guess what did you feel the difference was when you were playing volleyball the one time we played versus dunking in terms of the jumping and the approaches?
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, I messed around with playing a little bit of volleyball a couple months ago. The biggest difference was the timing. I think that's the biggest thing that I struggled with, is just getting the timing down. It was basically like having someone throw you an alley-oop, but I wasn't used to how that would happen. And then the spacing, the distance. So like on a basketball court, I'm running basically full court on a fast break, and I'm looking at my passer the whole time and we're kind of gauging that versus volleyball, it was a different line of direction. I had to backpedal. I've never, on a basketball court, I've never backpedaled and then ran. So it literally felt like I was like backpedaling and I didn't know how much I had to backpedal. And then I had to start my approach. So the timing was very different. So that's one thing that was difficult. The approach distance wasn't as much as I wanted it to be, but I think that was mainly due to a lack of experience. I think if I played more, I'd be able to give myself a little bit more room to approach with. But it's definitely still not as much as a full like 5 or 6 step approach dunk. So I would say those were the two biggest things is the time or the three biggest things. The timing was different. I had to backpedal and less space.
What about the height of the ball? Was it like that varying? Was that difficult?
That was difficult because I'm used to a lob on a dunk being essentially the same every single time. Whereas it was different with when I was playing volleyball. Mind you, I think that would change if I played more consistently and got used to the timing. And then if you're playing with a consistent with a passer, like you'd probably get to understand each other's timings and all that stuff. I will say a lot of those issues were just from a lack of experience,
yeah.
I think.
And bad players.
Yeah. But I think if I were experienced, the biggest difference would probably be the space. You don't have as much space and time to set up for your jump.
Yeah, I agree. I think that watching you play and seeing your dunking and your max effort jumping, you have, what is the, I mean, what, how far is it from the hoop to the three-point line, college?
From where I start, it's probably like 25 feet away, 20 to 25 feet away from the hoop.
Right, and so a 10-foot line is back row. So if you're doing a straight-ahead approach, you'd have to be, like, where you serve to the net would be for you to hit 50.5 inches on an approach.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So,
I can cover most of that.
Yeah, that exactly. So basically, you'd have to work within, and if you move laterally and stuff like that across the court, which some guys do to stay in the front row, I think for you, back row hitting would be more similar to actually dunking, like a distance dunk almost, or something like that. And then if you're front row, you'd probably have to be, maybe you'd have, I mean, you'd be behind the 10-foot line before your approach.
It's like a step and a penultimate.
Yeah, kind of. What do you think you could hit on that in terms of vertical?
I mean, I've kind of tested. That's what I did when I did my height check 2 dunk sessions ago. And I tested my vert like with flight time, and it was like 44, 45.
So you could hit a 45-inch vertical with like, what, 4 foot contacts into a jump? So like one step, penultimate, plant block?
3 steps. 3 foot contacts. I could hit a 45.
Wow. Okay. So I think you could probably get one more in there. What if you had one more, like a baby, like one additional step?
I'd be at most of my vertical for sure. On my highest jumping day ever, I could probably test 48 with that.
Okay. So pretty much the same. That's the biggest difference, right? So you're dealing with slightly less horizontal momentum.
It's like 90% of your vertical.
Yeah. Maybe, well, more, 95%, right? 90 to 95% the whole time. Now, most times when I watch players in volleyball, they're more focused on the timing, and part of that is related to their height, right? Like, if you're a volleyball player at the men's collegiate level and you're really, really good, odds are you're probably 6'3 to 6'10 or something like that. And the timing of the sets is going to differ, right? And I'm not a volleyball expert, but I've talked to a lot of volleyball players who are pretty good, like Josh Barina, Jimmy Ho, Richard Tan, and these guys have kind of taught me a little bit about it. And to my understanding, the pace of how fast those sets come across the net, like how fast you can get a set across, and then how quickly the hitter can get to the ball. So if your pace is really fast, you're probably really low fast sets. And so it's more about the timing of the hitter and the setter to get really high pace volleyball. And the more skilled you are, usually the higher the pace it is. So if you're a really high level men's team, you might, you know, set the ball across the whole net, whatever, a foot or 2 feet above the net, that's only 10 feet, but the you're basically in the air as they're setting the ball and pushing it across the net. And so the defender doesn't really have enough time to read that. And that makes it really, really tricky. And so that's like more of the strategy aspect of it. As you get to higher levels, that seems to play a role. At the lower levels and the highlights that we see is usually these high school guys or college guys or club guys that are just doing the crowd pleaser level mega hits, you know, from back row, like Lionel Marshall and stuff, where it's just a high ass set. He's coming from back row and just absolutely annihilating the ball. So for those, it seems like it's pretty much exactly the same, right? You can access 95% of your vertical on those hits, those really big, just massive spikes where they crater it into the floor, which are fun to watch. That's what we all like to watch, and it's probably what a lot of our athletes want to do and like to do. So I think it's the training should not be that dissimilar, but the big difference is that volleyball players are jumping. I mean, we have a collegiate volleyball player we coach right now, and she sends us all her data. She's jumping each practice 130 times. So imagine, and she probably jumps 4 to 5 times a week because she's a front row only player, right? What's 150 times 5? I don't even know. 750 contacts a week.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you jumped? And she's probably so her best touch is 10-1. And what do we know what her reach is?
I don't think so.
I think her best vertical is probably like 28. So she is probably within 90% or something like that, right? Yeah. Each time. Imagine if you did that. How would you feel?
I wouldn't feel good. I mean, I think it's more – I think it would have been more doable when I was younger and I didn't jump as high. But definitely would not have been – would not be sustainable right now for me. And I don't think that's very sustainable for most volleyball players. I think the only way it is sustainable is if you decrease the effort level on your jumps, which I think it is how guys survive, but you're not going to be pushing your vertical up, which I guess leads to what the biggest issue for training volleyball is, that they're just jumping way too frequently, to the point where the weight room quality isn't very high, because the only way to have high weight room quality is just to have higher frequency on all that stuff, higher intensities, at which point you're going to be battling injuries. So something has to give. I think if your priority is to improve your vertical, like to maximize that specifically, something has to give.
Right. I think another big issue with volleyball is that, especially at the grassroots level, as you're going through high school and even into college, is that so many of these programs are asking athletes to play year-round. So not only are they having a season where they're jumping 750 times, they're having an off season, a preseason, you know, all these different times throughout the year where they're jumping 750 times a week. That's a serious issue because you don't have time to focus on anything else. And I think part of this comes back to the coaching. I think the coaching for volleyball is not very good because they don't take this into consideration at all. All they think about is, well, we got to practice these fancy sets, we got to practice these fancy passes, we got to practice all this other stuff. And it's like, you got to be, first off, in a game, you should be jumping 90 to 95% of your best, right? So how are you going to do that and stay healthy if, and this is a major KPI, and if maybe the pace of the game is more of a KPI than the actual output of the athlete, okay, maybe you do have to do that. Maybe you do jump maximally more. But if your goal is to jump higher and you want to hammer spikes, and that seems to be as important as what it is, right? Or it seems to be relatively important. If it's actually that important,
I'm actually curious,
something has to change.
For those of you guys that are experienced volleyball players, I'm curious if you can comment below where, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is vertical jump ability?
Or like top touch, maybe.
Yeah, or like, yeah, your max touch. And how important is the skill of volleyball? I'm going to give an example. For basketball, as much as like what anybody says, I would say up until like the D1 level, it's way more important. It's like you need to have like a baseline level of being able to dunk, I would say, to be able to compete at a high, high level. Like if you can do a one or two hander. But then that's like the baseline. But then the skill is way more important past that. Like you're not really going to improve as a basketball player by going from, let's say it's me and I'm rim grazing, I have a 36-inch vertical. As a basketball player, I will become way better and increase my chances of playing at a higher level if I focus purely on the skill aspect of it than going from 36 to 45 inches. I'm curious, for those of you guys that are experienced at volleyball, is it the same thing in volleyball? Or can you get to a decent skill level, baseline skill level, and then from there it's like, the ceiling is based on how high you can jump.
part of me wonders too, like, I've seen a decent amount of volleyball. What if to pass, you don't need to be like front row, your focus is blocking and hitting, right?
Yeah.
Maybe some passing, there's like some element of reaction time or whatever else, but you don't need to jump to practice that stuff. So it's really just working on timing it with the setter.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you had just one time a week of jumping 50 times maximally, you know, whether it's playing or hitting or whatever else.
And you can do...
And you do that once a week leading into the season, right, in pre-competition. How I would set it up is... Oh, there's Austin. How I would probably set it up, once a week, I would have that, right?
Jumping?
Jumping 100%.
Like one of those 50, hard practices. Like those.
Not even a hard practice, just like, hey, we're going to practice like... Yeah, I guess you could call it that,
like
where you're hitting...
Just jump as hard as you can.
Yeah, we're just going to focus on that. And, you know, maybe that's like... Let's say the season's 3 months long. That's a month out before season. When you're in season, though, it's more about increasing your max, like having already increased your max vertical and functioning and having this max vertical reserve where functioning sub-maximally, you can have a higher vertical and sustain it throughout the season, right?
Yeah.
So maybe your max vertical goes up to 52 in the preseason, right? Or pre-competitive season. And then you get into the competitive phase, and you're essentially functioning at 48 or 47, but you can do that, let's say, even if it's 150 times a week, right? And that's all that's asked of you. And then you're killing everyone by doing that. And the skill aspect of it is developed when you're in that grassroots level, right? I think about dunking, you don't learn to do all those trick dunks on 10 feet. You do it on, you know, whatever else, 7. It's like you could probably practice the skill, the timing, all those other aspects.
Yeah, like if you're a young player, that is the time to get your 150 jumps five times a week and get the skill of it. And then I think as you start maturing, your power and your output start going up, that's when it's like time to take a more traditional jump training approach. Decrease the frequency of the jumping to once or twice a week, focus on the weight room. And then in season, if you have to play more, that's the time to do the jumps. Like if you were to take me to answer your earlier question, I could probably jump at 85%, have a 40-inch vertical, and sustain that jumping 4 or 5 times a week. It'll probably go down over the course of the season. It'll decrease and my injuries will probably increase gradually. But then you take the off season, rehab, increase performance and focus on that. But yeah, I think it's like windows of opportunity.
Yeah.
You have to have windows of opportunity to get better, which most volleyball, like you said, most volleyball players are playing year round, which is a big mistake in my opinion.
I think going back to that, what I would do is Austin just sitting in his car staring at us. If I had like a 12-month year, right, and let's say that I think 3 months they're in season-ish, 2 to 3 months, what I would do is that's their competitive phase. I'd have a, you know, whatever, 2 to 3 month pre-competitive phase, 2 to 3 month special prep, specific prep, and then 2 to 3 month of gen prep, maybe a month off at some point throughout the year, right? So I'd focus on heavy, heavy strength qualities when I'm further out, probably even all the way through the special prep phase. I would really focus on max strength. Once I would get into like pre-comp, I would start to really just focus on higher velocity movements. I would still do each of those as like each of those phases I would cut down, and I would probably have a 2-peak year now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a 1-peak year because you're going to detrain all those qualities. You can't extend the pre-competitive phase out to 3 or 4 months. It's not better by doing that because you lose all of the training effects from the previous cycles. So I probably would still keep them all at 1 month, but I would really focus on increasing their vertical as high as I possibly could, you know, leading into the season. And then once they're in season and the competitive part, yeah, it's like strategy becomes more of a role, but you have a better product to work with. And if strategy was that important, then 5-6 players who have great timing would be like they would be great, but I do think that height and your jumping ability is going to dictate your success at a super high level. And then on top of that, I think about you jumping and touching 12-1. No one off of one step with two hands, I don't care if you're 6'10", is going to touch 12 feet off one step with you. Like, I think you would hammer if you had good timing. you would annihilate the ball, especially knowing how hard you dunk. If you learn to hit a ball, you're telling me you couldn't just look down at their itty-bitty fingers and just break them as you hammer the ball into their fingertips and then blast the ball out of the, you know, like, even if their timing's great, I still think you could, either that or you're just going to look, you basically have a bird's eye view to look at where you want to hit the ball. You know what I mean? That's how I envision it happening. I don't know. Imagine when you try to dunk on someone, like Lewis, no offense to Lewis, but if you're taking four steps, better yet, it's off a lob, and he has to take one step and try to block you with two hands, yeah. You think you're going to dunk on him every time or try to break his hand in the process at least?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do actually. Like, that's how you could kind of think about it, right? How is it? Is it that much different, do you think?
I think dunking is different because the ball – dunking is actually a lot different. I think it's way easier to block a dunk than it is to block a hit in volleyball, because in dunking the ball has to go through a circle that's 18 inches in diameter. It, no matter where you start, how fast you're running, the ball has to end up there. So as a defender, you just have to put your hand by the hoop. Someone could jump. Someone could have an 100-inch vertical and jump from the freaking 3-point line, and you could have a max touch of 10-6. And you
could
block
them.
And the reason I know that is because of Lewis. Lewis is extremely good at blocking dunks. And he's blocked me multiple times. He's blocked Guy Dupuis. He's blocked Doug Anderson. All of us jumped higher than him. And this is when he was young. He was like, he didn't have the vertical he does now. And it's because the ball has to end up there. Whereas in volleyball, it's like you said, you have a bird's eye view. And it's almost the opposite thing. The one place that someone can get a block is where their hand is. So you just hit it
away from the hand.
So it's like, it's the opposite problem of volleyball. Dunking is one target. Volleyball is technically like endless targets.
The ocean.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point. So that said, how it's different, how it would get guys.
I actually want to.
Oh,
one
yeah,
thing.
Go ahead.
How would it differ? So someone signs up for THP. We load up a cycle for them. I'm going to give four scenarios.
Four scenarios. Okay.
Healthy person in season, healthy person off season. Guy with knee pain in season, guy with knee pain off season. What are you going to tell him how are you going to tell him to adjust the training, the workouts?
Okay, this is a good question, and for those of you listening, if you're athletes, bookmark this timestamp and listen to your whatever of these four you fall into. So if I'm out of season healthy, you know, let's say it's right at the end of the season.
Stop playing volleyball.
Yeah, stop playing volleyball and basically start training hard, right? You know, don't maybe jump once a week. Now, if you're unhealthy, get healthy as possible before, and probably stop jumping, build it in progressively, focus on getting
THP.
Healthy.
If you have knee pain and you sign up for THP, we're going to get you healthy.
Perfect.
I don't want you because I feel like they'll think, oh, let me get healthy before I sign up.
I hate that. That is such a bad idea.
Let me do ATG first before signing up for THP.
It's like, okay, or you could have just gotten better, stronger, more athletic, and still been in the right progression anyways. And then you have the in-season guy who's healthy. I'm probably going to focus on keeping them healthy. So I would want them to work in those windows of opportunity, focus on staying healthy, push when they can push, when they have a lot of time off, and I would tell them to dog it in practice, basically.
How would the weight room work for that guy?
How does the weight room work for the healthy guy?
Yeah.
I would still follow a progressed plan, periodized plan, according to their competitive schedule. So when it's non-important stuff, I would load more heavily, still follow a periodized plan. As they get closer to a game, an important game, I'm going to back off in the weight room closer to that game, but still maintain the integrity of progressing intensity, dropping volume, etc. And still try to get I look at it sequentially. So I have a set workout, and I try to get through four of those set workouts. I don't have as much variety because you don't have a higher frequency. You can't repeat the same day one four times, probably.
Yeah.
So you might have two workouts that you want to progress across 3 to 4 weeks, or one big workout you want to progress. So I'll try to progress that one or something else,
yeah,
and address that emphasis. But it's relatively general. I'm not going to be doing a lot of jumping. I'm not going to be doing any plyos. I'm not going to be doing fast eccentrics. I'm not going to be doing overloaded eccentrics. All that stuff is going to come out. And then as I get closer to the season ending, or the higher competitive stuff, I'm still going to unload them. I'm still going to deload them. All that stuff still is maintained. And then for the unhealthy guy, I'm going to tell him to dog it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Focus on getting healthy when they're not practicing. And then on those big competitive games, that's when I'm going to tell them to jump their highest and then put the pieces back together. Similar to basketball. It's exactly what we did with Nasir.
Yeah.
It's just identical to what we did with Nasir. His entire – he basically came to us 1 month prior to a season, couldn't walk downstairs, and was like, fix me for the season. And we're like, dude, you want me to get you ready to play basketball 6 days a week for 2 hours at a high level and then compete at a high level, and you're giving me 1 month to do that, and you can't walk downstairs? Like, that was a very tall order, and we were able to do it, but it was very strategically, and we had a direct line of communication with one of his head coaches, who was his dad, actually. Yeah. Shout out, Ray. And they listened. They did what we asked, and he was able to play the full season. If he had just gone into the season and tried to do what his coaches were asking him to do, there is no way he would have been able to do it. He would have probably been out of commission or played at a very low level the entire season. You would agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to – if you're a current THP athlete, I would say the order of operations for you is, one, go to the jump training course, watch the in-season training video. Then from there, talk to us. So go to a group call or message us privately, and we'll give you suggestions. Like, just tell us what your schedule is, and we'll give you suggestions on how to move the workouts around, how to adjust everything, and what your priority should be depending on if you're healthy or not, when's your important games, all that stuff. But I think that's a good place to cut it. Oh, yeah.
At this point, if you're a volleyball player, you're probably out of season and in club season. This is when you want to get better and yeah. healthy. Yeah. You need to be doing stuff now, because once you're in season, it's too late.
Yeah.
And then I'll give this back to Isaiah.
Much too often, I see somebody signing up way too late. And, yeah, they missed their window. So right now is the time to really get better. But having said that, that's pretty much it. Comment down any questions regarding this topic, and especially if you're a volleyball player, I want to hear your insights, your inputs, and feedback, because something that makes John and I really good coaches is that we love learning and becoming better as coaches, and your feedback helps us do so. So other than that, like the video if you're on YouTube, give us a 5-star if you're on any of the podcast platforms, and like always, go to thbstrength.com if you want to get coached by us, and we'll catch you guys in the next video. Peace out.